There's a word for us today. Amen. There's a word for us today. We've had a word all this year, coming into the year, and the Lord gave us this thought that He's opened doors for us. In fact, our key scripture has been Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. He says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says He who is holy, He who is true, He who has the key of David, He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." Verse 8, "I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name." There's a text. I have set before you an open door. Amen. Open door of opportunity. Open doors representing the places God would take you in your career, in your life, in your thinking, in your faith. I mean, we have had so much good happen to us, I mean, in recent years. And this year, God says the best is yet to come. And despite the continuing challenges that we have, we all have challenges, the church has challenges, but God continues to show up and to show Himself faithful. All right. So in this, for example, this recognition we're getting with this Image Inspire Award is just one more example to me of how God opens doors. In this case, doors of recognition, doors of people seeing the value of our work with young people. All right. So you take hold of that word. However you receive it, whatever it means to you, just receive it into your life and know that God has opened the door for you. And the best part is no one can shut it. Amen. Now, we've been teaching about the parables that Jesus spoke in Matthew 13. And He gave the parable of the sower, which is our first teaching in this series. This is part 5 in this series. And He spoke the parable, but then after He spoke the parable, the disciples came in verse 10 and asked Him this question. They said to Him, "Lord, why do you speak in parables?" And He said to them, "Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." Now again, he spoke the parable, and then He stopped speaking. People dispersed, but some came and said, "Lord, why do you speak in parables?" And this is a very important point here. He says, "Because it's been given to you." Now the last thing he said in that original message was, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In the parable of the sower, seed fell by the wayside, some fell on stony ground, some fell among the weeds and were choked, and some fell on good ground. That was the parable, right? Remember that? And so He said, the last thing He said was, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. And then He stopped speaking. He was it. That was it, because He wanted to just let it sit right there and to see who wanted to know more. And that is still what Christ is doing today. We must have ears to hear. Now, so it's given to you to know, that is, you who have ears to hear. But to them, that is those who don't have ears to hear, those who don't care, it has not been given. So He says, verse 12, "For whoever has what? Hearing, a hearing heart, a teachable spirit. To him who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance." That's talking about you, talking about me. "But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Wow. So the consequence of hearing is that you have more, you gain more. But the consequence of not hearing is we lose, we miss out. He says, verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Then He says in verse 16, "But blessed are your ears, or blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear." See, listen, saints of God, people of God, your eyes, your ears are blessed because you want to see, you want to hear. And that's a very important principle, not just for this teaching, but in your whole life. When it comes to how you receive the Word of God through Bible teaching, through sermons, through even online live stream presentations like this, please lean in with your heart, with your mind. Don't be distracted, because this is the day where you can't afford to miss out anything God has to say, right? So blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now I'm going to go straight to my teaching today. We taught, teaching several of these parables from Matthew 13. I'm going to press on today to save some time and go straight to our text today, which is Matthew 13, verse 47. It reads as follows. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels and threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, that sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? So, wow, what kind of kingdom is that? It's the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of God. All right, it's a different. Now, sometimes they're the same, but in this text, in many texts, the kingdom of heaven is distinctly different from the kingdom of God. We'll explain that here in our teaching today. But notice that Christ said a parable of a dragnet. Now, a dragnet, let me show you this picture. A dragnet looks like this. A dragnet is a huge net that's cast into the sea or to the lake. And the objective, in the picture here, is they just cast this net. And what happens is, they just, you know, let the fish come into it, give it a few minutes or hours, or whatever, a whole day, and they begin to draw this huge net. And the net just pulls in whatever fish are on the bottom of the lake to the surface, if it's a tall enough net, and they draw it in, and that net brings every kind of fish in. All right. Again, here the fishermen, actual fishermen, a picture of actual fishermen doing that technique. And so it obviously is effective in terms of, you know, gathering lots of fish in. But the downside is it gathers every kind of fish. All right. Now, the point is this. You know, we are fishers of men, Jesus said. But sometimes we catch bad fish. You think, well, no, we should only catch good fish. No, understand, the kingdom of heaven is life in the world. It is living for God in the present time. It's serving God among people and conditions that are in whatever state we find them. Please hear that. You know, when we go evangelize, we don't get to go out and just, you know, only work with the people who are going to accept Christ, who are favorable to our message, you know, who want to hear what we have to say. No, evangelism and reaching out in the kingdom of heaven is that we go out and reach everybody. Now, you know this, if you've been involved in ministry, you know, any kind of ministry, you know, man, you have the joy of people who respond, and you have the heartache of people who reject you. Sometime in just disgusting ways, violent ways, because when we cast that dragnet, we're going to bring in every kind of fish, every kind of person, in every kind of condition. And so the parable is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that is cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. See that word, every kind. Now, in the context of the scripture, in the end times, you know, the work of the entire church, you know, from, you know, the whole time we've been in existence since the book of Acts till whenever Christ come back, then when Christ returns, when it's all said and done, everything that was gathered up in this time in the earth, a separation come at the end. That is, that as the Bible says here, the angels are going to separate the wicked from among the just, and will cast them, the wicked, into the furnace of fire. Now, what's a sad reality in this is that there are people, all right, who claim to be Christians who are not. Not folk who were Christians and fell aside. I mean, those who never were. Those who have pretended. Those who were gathered in, became part of the church, were church members in some cases, And at the end of all things, when the judgment comes, a separation will happen. Now, we can't be concerned about that. It's not for us to judge who is who. Now, one thing for sure, anybody who knows they're saved, loves Jesus, serves God, are you saved? Right? Don't worry about that. I'm talking about people who just show up in church or around the things of God or claim to know God or have some kind of pagan view. I mean, at the end, it'll be made clear when the separation happens that, you know, they were bad fish, so to speak. I hate to say that, but they were, you know, they were caught. The kingdom of God is exclusive within you. The kingdom of heaven is inclusive. All right. So let me get to my point here, because when we evangelize, you're going to have to understand two things. Again, first of all, that the kingdom of God is inclusive. The Bible says in Luke 17:20 about the kingdom of God. He says, now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. See that? So the kingdom of God is exclusive, meaning that that's what we normally think about and concerning, you know, what God is doing and the people who are faithful to God, those who serve God. Those are people in whom the kingdom of God dwells, that they're being motivated, guided, led by the Spirit of God. Their hearts embrace God. They have ears to hear. All right. They are fully vested. And so that's what the kingdom of God is. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, when scripture says within you. Now, the difference, though, is now, but the kingdom of heaven is inclusive. Again, Matthew 13, verse 47, it said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind. Now, this is an important distinction because it defines for us what it means to be a believer in the real world, what it means to be active and engaged in society. Now, the local church, the church congregation, should be comprised of people who embrace the kingdom of God. But the truth is, because everything in the earth is part of the kingdom of heaven, there are folks sitting up in any church who are not saved, who are not serving God. Now, we know this, it's obvious. So, you know, don't be surprised if, you know, don't be surprised, okay? Because we're in the earth, you know, and we're in the world. And so we have to really deal with the fact that we're in the world. The kingdom of heaven, you could say, it's the kingdom under heaven. Everything in the world we deal with. Now, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because, again, you know, how could we come to Christ? If it weren't for the kingdom of heaven, then the gospel never would have reached us where we were. I didn't get saved in church. I didn't go to church, right? So church didn't save me, right? Church service didn't help me, you know, directly. I was saved by, as a matter of fact, I got saved based on my parents, my mom giving me these tracks, you know, the chick tracks. Some of y'all know about that. And I mean, I was out in the world. And so she gave me stuff. In fact, I remember she gave me a track and I put it on my dresser. I tried to throw it away. I couldn't throw it away. I put it in the trash can and got it back out. See, in the kingdom of heaven is where people find out God is real and they need him. And so there's ways and there's means and books and sermons. And so I'm telling you, the kingdom of heaven is important. That's where people find out about the gospel. But once we embrace the gospel, we come into the kingdom of God and our hearts are changed. You understand that? Very important distinction. So the kingdom of God is exclusive. The kingdom of heaven is inclusive. And everybody in the kingdom of heaven is not going to heaven. You see, everybody in the kingdom under the kingdom of heaven in the earth is not going to heaven. The idea is the opportunity presents itself in the kingdom of heaven to discover the kingdom of God. All right. Not playing on words here. This is very precise stuff in the scripture. Again, now sometimes there's a similarity between the two phrases. But in this text, in many texts, it is distinctly different. Now, let me get to another point that's very important to raise with you here. That is this. In the kingdom of heaven, we need to put a great demand on discernment and understanding God's way of doing things. Right? Think about that, because everything out here in the world is out here. For example, you know, take cable TV. All right. Now, when I grew up, we had like 6 channels. Now we got 100 channels, 200 channels. And there are good channels and bad channels. And you can watch good things and bad things. The kingdom of heaven is like cable TV. Everything's out there. Everything's out there. The bad, the good, the ugly. Now, if you attach yourself to the bad and the ugly, then that's where you are. That's just kind of that's where you are. And so that now, as believers, though, we need discernment, all right, to understand God's way. That in the kingdom of heaven, again, the kingdom under heaven, to recognize what is of God, what's not of God, to make good choices, to live responsibly. Now, sometimes the alternative, what people think they have to do is withdraw themselves, you know, from all manner of people, you know, just go away. And sometimes people become monks and they go to monasteries and they go someplace where nobody else is. And, you know, I mean, I understand that it is important to have retreats and solitude, but we're not ever called to be away from people totally all the time. So the monastic, you know, model is actually not biblical. We're called to be separated, but not isolated, right? I mean, even things like private schools and, you know, all that. I don't know about that anymore. Christian schools. I don't know. I think we should go to regular school. That's what I'm thinking now, because we need to understand the kingdom of heaven and learn discernment and learn how to deal with situations as they are. And learn how to trust God and overcome and, you know, and all that. I'm not saying we throw ourselves into a bad situation and we, you know, give ourselves to what is obviously bad. But the fact is, I'll tell you something, man, if you're going to avoid, if you say, I got to stay away from bad people and bad influences, then you got to be by yourself. And you can't even go to church. I mean, folk are everywhere. And again, the dragnet, the kingdom of heaven, like a dragnet, every kind of fish is in there. Every kind of person is in there. So it puts a demand on you to trust God more, right? To learn how to, you know, live for him and make good choices. And parental training, you know, being trained in church and being strong in the word helps all that. But I don't see anywhere in scripture where, you know, God said, go off by yourself. And so you can survive. Now, you're going to survive right where you are if you trust God. All right. Now, so then we engage people in the world as they are. That's a misspelling there. We engage people in the world. I'll say with the gospel that can transform him. That's a typo there. We engage people in the world as they are. OK, with the gospel that can transform them. Luke 10, verse 2 says this. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Neither carry money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, nor greet no one along the road. Now, Jesus said, He said, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Now, that's the kingdom of heaven. That's people of God, disciples of God on assignment for God. He sends you. Look where he sends you. He sends you among wolves because it's the wolves that God wants to change. Now, you got to avoid the wolves. You got to not be caught up with the wolves. But there are people among the wolves that God wants to rescue, and maybe some of the wolves themselves. But one thing for sure, that there is no way to do ministry. There's no evangelism without encountering people, all kind of people, people who want to hear you and people who don't care. And like I said, my concern here of late is that Christians have just checked out. We've checked out and chickened out. you know, and we want to just stay holed up somewhere at Starbucks or at home or at home theater in the man cave, woman cave. We just want to get holed up somewhere and not deal with people. But listen, the kingdom of heaven is like the dragnet. Jesus taught that. He taught that to people. He told, in fact, that's what he explained to the disciples. That was his message to the disciples, what they were to be in the world, but not of it. And that's an art, by the way. That's easily said. It's easier said than done, all right, to be in the world, but not of it. Look at this now. So Jesus intends for us to be engaged with the world around us without being of the world. Now, that's, you know, again, it's easy to say, but it can be done. We're doing it. We who love Jesus, we do it every day. We work in the world. We're around folk. We hear things. We see things. And we continue to serve God. You know, don't nothing turn us around, right? In fact, we're more influential in their space than they are on us. We bring more influence than they influence us. That's what a true believer does. And that comes through faith in Christ, through knowing Christ. Now, 1 John 2, it says in verse 15, 1 John 2, 15, do not love the world, nor anything in the world. For anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Now, this is good because, again, as being people who work and live in the kingdom of heaven, again, the kingdom under heaven, if you will, then we have this challenge. We live in the world, but we're commanded not to love the world. Don't love things of the world. Now, it's not saying that, you know, I got behind me, you see, I mean, in my at home now, I got this big TV behind me and I got speakers over here and all that. I got plenty of stuff in the world. I got all kinds of stuff, but that stuff doesn't have me. See, it's not possession. It's not having possessions. That's the problem. It's possessions having you. I don't love this stuff. I like this stuff. I use this stuff. But the distinction is in the kingdom of heaven, I get to be in and among it all. But it doesn't, it's not my main thing. It does not captivate my heart. Amen. You hear me? He says, for everything that's in the world, again, back to our text, 1 John 2. For all that's in the world, here's the world, lust of the flesh, you know, what I want to feel, lust of the eyes, what I want to see and look at, the pride of life, you know, big shot, big me, big head, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The desires of the world and its desires will pass away. Whoever does the will of God lives forever. So you got to find a way. Well, you know, listen, you got to find a way to be in this world and not love it. To experience all this madness and not be mad and go crazy yourself. To see all this stuff around you and not be captivated by it. I'm telling you, it's possible. It's absolutely possible to live in this wicked world and not be wicked. To live around all this stuff and have stuff and not be obsessed by it. But that's where we need discernment. We need spiritual development. See, the kingdom of God within us is what gives us the authority and the ability to live in the kingdom of heaven and not be caught up in stuff. See, a lot of Christians get caught up in stuff. A lot of Christians get all wrapped up because when we're not being motivated by the kingdom of God, when we're not being governed by the kingdom of God, we're going to become governed by the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of heaven. The things around us will begin to control us. And that describes exactly the state of many Christians. They're just controlled by the things of the world. He says here, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Now, again, it's not insurmountable. Because that's why we're teaching this lesson. That's why Jesus taught what he taught. That's why he said, again, the whole point of the parables was, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. To him who has, more will be given. He'll have an abundance. So you'll have an abundance of God and of God's truth and of God's things. You'll have an abundance even while you live in this present world. But who him who has not ears to hear, what he has is taken away. So the world will come in and literally, you know, just strip you down and leave you naked spiritually and, you know, and hopeless, because there's no hope. I mean, the kingdom of heaven, we see it. The dragnet is full of all kind of stuff. And you can't differentiate between this or that. You can't discern between the good and bad without the kingdom of God to guide you. I mean, but I tell you, sometimes everything seems exciting. You know, I had a member of ours years ago who worked for one of these places where they, you know, buy here, rent to own situation. You know, people go in there, they go to buy furniture and they think, and you know, how much is that couch? Couch is like 10. Ooh, how much TV? TV is 20. Ooh, how much is that cabinet over there? That's like 30. Wow, 30, 10, 20. Ooh, I love it. Yes, eyes all big, but it's that's the amount per week, all right? So they come out of there owing, you know, $500 a month on the stuff that, because the eyes got big, see? There's so much stuff to choose from. You can't get excited about stuff. Don't get excited about stuff in the world. Don't get excited, because when you're excited about stuff in the world, you get all attached to stuff and you forget how to be led by the kingdom of God. Again, I got, and listen, I'm a man who has, y'all know I got stuff now. Listen, my gear has gear, all right? And I got some of the best stuff for what I do. But God has no problem with that. Again, the issue isn't us having things, it's things having us. The issue is, are we being governed by the kingdom of heaven, or are we being governed by the kingdom of God? All right. Well, I hope you're being blessed by this. This is important information. Look at Romans 12:22. Should be. That's a mistake there. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is that will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. See that? When you're living in the kingdom of heaven with God's kingdom within you, what you need to do is be transformed in your thinking, transformed in your mind. And then that by testing, you can then discern, a key word, discern what is the will of God, right? Among all the things around you, all the stuff in your life, you got to sort out what God is doing, what God's not doing, what he's in, what he's not in. And that's sometimes difficult. But if you, again, have ears to hear, you follow Jesus, you'll sort that out. You must sort out the will of God for your life in the midst of living in this present world, such as it is. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul said this. Now, there's a teaching. Let me touch this point here. There's a teaching in the church, some churches, about what's called the doctrine of separation, that you should be, you know, separate. Now, the Bible does say be separate, but the way it's taught sometimes, it comes out to be like, well, you know, you can't talk to this person because they don't go to this church, or that they belong to that denomination, or you cannot be around, you know, your family because, you know, they don't serve God, and this kind of thing. Well, no, that's never God's plan. We'd be separate from people. The separation is in our hearts. We keep separate. In God's kingdom, we know who to serve, what to believe, what to do, what not to do. Now, so Paul breaks it down this way. Paul was very clear here in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, verse 19 beginning, though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone. It's a powerful statement. I'm free and belong to no one, but made myself a slave or a servant to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under law, so as to win those who are under the law. He says, going on here, to the weak, I became as weak. I'm not weak, but I became like weak like those who are weak, to win the weak. I become all things to all people so that by all means possible, I might save some. I can't save them all because, again, a dragnet, you got all kind of fish and all kind of people in there. I can't save them all. I want to save some. He says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel that I might share in its blessing. That's a very clear statement of how we operate in the kingdom of heaven. You get that? I become all things of all men. I can go mix it up with anybody. I can hang out with people, but I'm not going to do what they're doing. I can. Again, it's a fine line there, but there's a line. But the thing is, the answer is not to stay away from people, avoid situations, not identify with people for fear of losing your soul. Let me tell you, if you serve Jesus, love Jesus, do his will, have ears to hear, you know, nothing can separate you from God's love. Paul said that nothing can separate me from God's love. So I'll go to Africa. I'll go anywhere. I'll go anywhere God says go. But no fear of tainting myself or destroying myself. I mean, again, I won't go where God says don't go. I won't do anything that's not fruitful or has no possibility of being fruitful. The main thing is, as I said in Romans, learn the will of God. Learn to do God's will. Almost done here. Hope you're enjoying this. It's very important teaching, I believe. So the believer is to be separated, but not isolated. Please hear that. So important to recognize that. That we are separate, yes, in our faith, in our practice, but we don't avoid people for fear of somebody, you know, spoiling us or tainting us, whatever. All right, let me give you some list here, a final list here of kingdom responsibilities. Again, the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, mixing it up, being among people, being part of the dragnet. Now, we're the good fish in the net, right? And God wants to help us, empower us to go help bring other people to Christ. First of all, we should be a witness before all. Acts 1:8 says, go into all the world, right? Number two, we are Christ's ambassadors to all. The Bible says that, you know, an ambassador, when I go to Africa, next time I go, I will be an American in Africa. I'll carry an American passport. I'm in Africa. I will be around Africans. I'll speak some Swahili, if I can remember, but I will never become an African. Not because I don't want to. I'm an American by, I won't become a Nigerian. I am African-American by descent, but I won't become Nigerian. I won't become Kenyan because I am an ambassador. My citizenship is in America, USA. Number three, responsibility. We preach the gospel to all men. Number four, we shine as a light before all men. Number five, we do good to all. Just doing good. That's a good word there, doing good. We don't always preach to people. Sometimes you feed people. You give people what they need. Give them some clothes. Give them a little money. Give them, you know, help them out. Give them a ride somewhere. We just do good, right? We do good. In the kingdom of heaven, we don't just, see, listen, in God's kingdom, we're doing prayer. We're doing, you know, Bible reading and spiritual warfare and all the spiritual stuff. But in the kingdom of heaven, we do practical things. We do all the spiritual activity, but we also do things that people just plain old need to have done. Number six, we walk in wisdom toward all people. Number seven, we pray for all men. The Bible says pray for presidents and kings and all people. He says, number eight, provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's important there. That, you know, in the midst of corruption and people lying and cheating and stealing, we do honest things, right? Even though we can get away with some stuff, or we think we can, nobody would know. Well, we know, and God knows. So we provide things honest. That's the witness. That's the light we shine in a dark world. We're salt. We're light. So in the midst of corruption, we're doing the right things. Number nine, we live peaceably with all men. Yeah, as much as lies in you, be at peace, so that someone may hate me and disrespect me. I'm going to be at peace about it and respect them as far as I can. I'll be peaceable. All right. I'll walk away if I have to. But that's what you do. That's the risk you take when you live authentically in God's, under God's heaven, under the kingdom of heaven, that we're going to have to understand. You got decisions to make, you got things to do, and things are difficult sometimes. Number 10, our moderation is known to all men. Our manner of living, how we live, how we think, you know, our disposition. We people know where we stand. Okay, we don't hide that we love God. I mean, everybody in the room can say, "I hate God. I hate God." One by one. Now it's your turn. What you gonna say? I say, "I love God." You know, it might get me put out. It might get me persecuted. But my moderation is, I love God. In a room full of people who say they hate God, I love God. I'll say it. I'll tell you. I love Jesus with all my heart. 11, honor all men. Very important. Honor people. People need to be respected. Number 12, and have a good report or testimony before all men. That is, what people, the folk who say they hate you, have nothing on you. Not really, you know what I'm saying? they saying stuff, but really, they know they got nothing on you. Your testimony, your report is good. They got attitude. Attitude don't hurt you. They may lie. That don't hurt you either, right? Just don't let nothing come out that's actually true. I mean, just live a certain way and have no concern, all right? I wouldn't say you should. Well, in fact, you should ignore people as much as you can. And sometimes you got to answer a concern. It makes sense. But here's the thing. If the kingdom of God is within you and governing you, then you have everything you need to survive and thrive in the kingdom of heaven. And moreover, as the dragnet illustrates, when we're going out and reaching people, we get all kinds of people. People who are favorable to us, unfavorable to us, people we can help, people we lose. I mean, it's a mixture of joy and heartbreak. In serving, being authentic and serving God and being engaged in our community. Well, I trust you are blessed today by this lesson. Again, teaching on the parables of Matthew, of Jesus from Matthew 13. Again, our title for the series has been Preparing Your Heart and Life for Increase. That's the whole point to the whole series, preparing your heart and life for increase. And I want you to embrace that and recognize from today's lesson that part of that means, because you live in the world, work in the world, and influences are all around you, then you taking a stand for Christ in your heart is more important than ever. Being discerning, finding ways to interact with people, to be involved with people in their context, with what they're dealing with, without getting caught up in it yourself. Amen. I mean, it isn't easy, but it's possible, more than possible. In fact, we actually do it and succeed at doing it through the grace of God. Amen. Now, finally, again, two things I want you to, if you need prayer, you can email us at nccindy@gmail.com. See if I got a graphic for that. I don't think I do. Well, I'll just show this slide here. This our couples event. There shows in the bottom right. Email address, nccindy@gmail.com. Email us, or you could call our number, which is 317-205-6000. Or church website is newcovenant.org. And again, I'm not sure, I should have those slides ready to show as well, but I don't, so be it. But again, just want you to know that, you know, if you're watching us and you're not a member of New Covenant Church, I thank God for you watching and trust you were blessed and learned something today. If you're a member of the church, if you're a believer in Christ, then please accept this mandate from God to understand that you're part of the kingdom of heaven with the kingdom of God within you, and that, you know, it takes discernment and devotion to Jesus Christ to navigate this world and, you know, and to be successful. And most of all, there's increase. Again, he said, if you have ears to hear, you'll receive an abundance of whatever you need. You know, abundance of whatever you need comes by staying connected to God.